Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It is January the 6th, and it is also Rosh Chodesh Shvat, and we are towards the end of Parshas Bamidbar, page 744, beginning of Perek Dal, chapter 4. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron lemar. Hashem spoke to Moshe and to Aaron, saying, Naso es rosh b'nei kahas, count the heads of the children of Kahas, mitoch b'nei Levi, from within the b'nei Levi, l'mishpacha osam l'vesa osam, to their families, to their father's household. Miben shloshim shana v'mala, ve'ay ben chamishim shana, from 30 years until 50 years, kol balat tzava, all who come to the tzava. Tzava would be like a legion or a, how do they say it here? To the war?
Legion.
Okay, yeah. Lasos melacha bo'al moed, to do work in the Oel Moed, in the Mishkan. We counted the Levim from 1 month and up. And we counted them already from 1 month and up, and we counted them for, we broke them into branches, Gershon, Kahas, and Levi. Gershon is the oldest. Kahas is second, Levi is third. Merari. Gershon, Kahas, and Merari. Kahas had 8,600 from 1 month and up. That's how many were in Kahas. And now, Kahas, the middle son, is being singled out to be counted from 30 to 50. As we will see, because this is the age of doing the work that the Levim did in the Midbar, in the wilderness, of carrying the Mishkan. They did it from age 30 until age 50. Under age 30 did not do this type of work. Over age 50 did not do this type of work. So 30 to 50, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us that at age 30, when the Mishnah lists the various milestones in a person's life, and it tells you at each age what that age represents. So 30 is koach, is strength. And Rashi tells us later in Chumash, as we'll see in Parshas Baaloscha, that at that age of strength is from 30 to 50. That's when a person is at the peak of their strength. So the Levim carried the Mishkan, when they traveled, the age of the Levim that were eligible to work in carrying the Mishkan were from age 30 to age 50. So the Kahas branch of the Levim is being singled out to be counted from 30 to 50. Now, it is important that Kahas is being counted first, before Gershon, the oldest brother, was counted first. But here, Kahas, the second brother, is being counted. And there's no indication here that his two brothers, the other two branches, that Gershon and Merari, will likewise be counted from 30 to 50. It doesn't say that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say, count the Levim from 30 to 50, mm-hmm. and start with Kahas. It says, count Kahas from 30 to 50. Now, we happen to know that in the next parsha, Parshas Naso, Gershon and Merari will also be counted from 30 to 50. But the way the Torah presents it, it is clear that the counting of Kahas from 30 to 50 is distinct from the counting of Gershon and Merari from 30 to 50. So whereas counting from a month and up, there were no distinctions made between the three branches of the Levim. They were counted in age order, Gershon, Kahas, Merari, and they were all counted from a month and up. But here, when it comes to counting them from 30 to 50, Kahas is clearly singled out and counted, and then later, Gershon and Merari will likewise be counted from 30 to 50. So we will see presently why that is, that they are singled out to be counted from 30 to 50. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Zos avodas b'nei kahas bo'al moed. This, the following, is the service of the children of Kahas in the Mishkan. Kodesh HaKadoshim. So their service is the Holy of Holies. When we see the term Kodesh HaKodashim, so we tend to think of the chamber in the Mishkan and also in the Beis HaMikdash that contained the Aron, the Ark. That was the holiest place, both in the Mishkan and in the Beis HaMikdash. We know that that's a place that no one was ever allowed to go into except for the Kohen Gadol and only on Yom Kippur. So when you see that phrase, Kodesh HaKadoshim, we automatically think of a location. But Kodesh HaKadoshim simply means the most holy, the Holy of Holies. It doesn't have to be referring to the location where the Aron was in the Mishkan and in the Beis HaMikdash. In this case, it means his work was the most holy, was the most sanctified of the work. Gershon, Kahas, and Merari will all carry components of the Mishkan. When the Mishkan is dismantled and the Jews are traveling, they will each have their jobs and what they carry. But Kahas' job was the most sanctified of all three branches. So that's why it says that his service was Kodesh HaKadoshim, Holy of Holies, the most holy, the most sanctified. Now, the Torah will explain how it works. So, remember the preamble was, what we just read in Pasuk Daled, verse 4, the following is the service of the Bnei Kahas in the Mishkan, the most holy. But now we'll get a storyline for how it works, how how Kahas's job worked. Pasuk Hey, verse 5. Uva Aaron uvanav bin soa hamachane. Aaron and his sons would come when it was time for the camp to travel. So they would prepare the Mishkan for the Bnei Kahas to do their job. So what would Aaron and his sons do? V'horidu eis paroches hamasach, they would take down the paroches, the curtain that separated between the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kodesh. They would take down the curtain. V'chisuva eis Aaron ha'idus, and they would use it to cover the ark. They would take the paroches and wrap the ark in the paroches. They would wrap it around the ark. That means when they were traveling, you couldn't see the Aron because it was wrapped in the paroches. But they weren't done yet. V'nasnu alav kesui ar tachash. They would put upon it a covering of the leather, the hide of a tachash. We'll talk about that in a minute, what kind of animal that is. Ufarsu venged kalil techeles milmala. And they would spread a complete techeles garment over it. Techeles, of course, is wool that is dyed with this blue dye. So it was a completely blue dyed wool. They would then cover it. Visamu badav, and they would place its poles. Now, before we get into the coverings, a technical point, the implication here is that they took the poles and slid them into place on the sides of the ark, of the Aron. But that's a difficulty because we learned before that what?
Well, it's wrapped up. How can you get to the...
Well, it could be they left the sockets visible. But we learned before in Parshas Teruma that you're not allowed to ever remove the poles from their sockets. Lo yasuru mimenu. It's actually a prohibition. It's a lav. It's one of the 613 mitzvahs. We're not allowed to remove the poles from the ark. They have to always be in place. So what does it mean? And they placed its poles. So the Ramban over here writes that it doesn't mean that the poles were lying on the side and they slid them into place. Rather, it just means they moved the poles so that the poles were situated properly. He says the poles had a little bit of a give. When they were slid in originally by Moshe Rabbeinu or Bezalel, whoever slid them in, and they were placed, I guess Moshe Rabbeinu, and they were placed in their sockets on the sides of the Aron, there was a little bit of a give. The poles could slide a little bit.
So the
Kohanim would fix those poles properly, so now that it was ready for carrying. That's what it means. So it doesn't mean they put the poles in. The poles were in already, but it means that they moved them around to get them to the right spot so that they could be easily, the Aron could easily be carried. So the Aron's preparation by the Kohanim involved three different coverings. One, they took the paroches and wrapped up the Aron, apparently leaving the poles visible, uncovered. They would then wrap it in a tachash hide, and then they would wrap it in or cover it with a techeles covering, something that was completely techeles. The tachash we had before in Parshas Truma and Tetzaveh, when we were talking about the construction of the Mishkan, the Tachash was an animal that existed at that time. It seems like Hashem only had it, its only purpose of existence was for the construction of the Mishkan. And it had, its hide was a very beautiful multicolored hide. The Aramis, the Aramaic translation of Tachash is Sasgona. Sasgona means, as Rashi says, sus, it rejoices in Gavna, in its colors. It has many colors. It's a multicolored hide of the animal. It's a very beautiful hide. So this was used in the construction of the Mishkan, and here it was used to make the coverings that we are going to have for all of the utensils of the Mishkan. I did see at one time somebody make the point that the advantage of a hide over the paroches and over the covering that is made of wool, of tcheles, is that a hide is waterproof. Mm-hmm. Whereas the other types of coverings are not. So I don't know if that was necessary or not. I don't know if they got rained on or not. But it was a more durable type of covering. Would be a hide, yeah.
But doesn't it say here that the wool goes
on top? Yes. Yeah. So that wouldn't protect the wool covering, but it would protect the aron. I don't know if it was for protection or not, but that is what they used. So
I think they're just being careful of anything.
Okay. Well, triple covering certainly implies that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to follow carefully here what was used to cover each of the utensils. We just had the Aron. We're going to have the Shulchan, the table, the menorah, and two altars, two mizbechos. So we're going to have five things that are going to be covered, and they're going to be each covered differently with different types of coverings. And we're going to follow that carefully. Yeah.
Which of the coverings were up over the Mishkan? We talked about the ones that went up over in certain places.
Yeah.
Were all of these used?
Yeah, there were various coverings that were used. There was a material covering. Then there was a covering goat's hair? Was it goat's hair? I don't remember. But anyway, there was all kinds of covering that were done, but they're not being carried by Kohas. They will be carried by the one of the other two.
So these that are, except for the curtain, which is up in the Mishkan,
yeah.
These others are not up anywhere.
Correct.
In the Mishkan.
These are separate things that were kept solely for the purpose of covering them when they were traveling. That's right. So that's a good point. The paroches was used as a cover, but it was a curtain. It was used as a cover. The other coverings were specifically made as coverings. That's what they were there for. So again, let's review. The Aron gets first the paroches. That's covering number one. Covering number two is the hide of the tachash. Covering number three is the all tcheles wool covering. That's number three. Okay. Next, Pasuk Zayin, verse 7. Ve'al shulchan apanim. And on the shulchan. So the shulchan, of course, has the lechem apanim, the showbread, is on the shulchan. There is a problem, or at least a there is a consideration here, in that we know that the bread cannot be taken off the shulchan. It must remain on the shulchan all the time. So when they traveled, the bread had to remain on the shulchan. So on the shulchan, it says, Yifrisu beged techeles. They would spread a techeles covering. Vinasnu alav, and they would put upon it, es ha-ka'aros, ves ha-kapos, ves ha-menachios, ve'es kisos ha-nasech. They would put all the various parts of the shulchan. The shulchan had poles that jutted out above the shulchan, and there were then pipes that ran from pole to pole, and the bread would sit on those pipes. And there were other utensils of the shulchan. So they were all placed on the shulchan. And the shulchan was covered with this tcheles covering. The lechem atamid alav yiyah. And the lechem atamid, the lechem that needed to be there all the time, was there. It was not removed. So the shulchan was covered with a tcheles covering. Ufarsu aleihem, and they would spread upon all of them, beged tolas shani, a red dyed wool, v'chisuo sobi michsei or tachash, and they would cover it with a tachash hide covering, v'samues badav, and they would arrange its poles. So the shulchan also has three coverings. It has a tcheles covering, it has a red wool covering, and it has a tachash covering. So the three coverings, two of them are the same as the Aron, one is different. The Aron had tcheles. Well, let me say it in order. The Aron had, it had the paroches, it had the tachash hide, and it had tcheles. Whereas here you have the tcheles, the tachash hide, and you have, or tcheles, and you have a red dyed wool, tolas shani, and the tachash hide. Also, the order that they were put on is slightly different, because with the shulchan, the tachash hide is done last. So we have somewhat of a difference between the aron and the shulchan. And so let's make sure we remember all of this. We'll start with the Aron. No, we're not going to start with anything with this one. Not great.
We have other ones in there.
What's under the telephone, maybe.
I pointed a new packet in
there.
I pointed a packet out to
you. You.
There we go. Yes. My thoughts exactly.
Let's see what we got here. Okay, let's try.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I have
extra ones that those
don't work.
What's
that? Two is the tachash hide, right? Tachash hide. And three is techeles. Okay. Then we have the shulchan. First, techeles. It's spelled the same.
Scarlet.
No, then we have tolas shani, scarlet.
Scarlet.
Oh. Right. We have scarlet. And then Tachash hide. Okay. So let's move on to the menorah. So, Pasuk Tes, verse 9. V'lakechu beged techeles. And they took a techeles garment. V'chisu es menoras hama'or ves neroseha. And they covered the menorah and its lights. Ves malkacheha ves machtoseha. Those are its various things that were used, its tongues and its things that were used to clean it out. Ve'ez kol klei shamna and all of its utensils of oil, asher yishar sula bahem, that were used to serve. Now that doesn't mean that the oil of the menorah was in it as well, but I take that back. It had the oil of the menorah. Let me just check one thing over here. 1 minute, please. Now we'll see later that the oil for the menorah was carried a different way, but this was the utensils that would hold the oil that was also placed on the menorah, and the menorah is covered with a treles covering. So now the menorah was not lit because the menorah is only lit at night. Mm-hmm. Now it's true though that there was a nes that the Ner Ma'aravi stayed lit the entire time. It doesn't tell us whether that light was still burning as the menorah was being moved, but it didn't have to be. It wasn't necessary, but it might have been. But you'll see later that there was something else where there was a fire burning as it was being carried. Pasuk Yud, verse 10. And they placed it and all of its utensils into a tachash hide covering. And they placed it on its poles, on the poles. So the menorah only has two coverings. It has a treles covering, and it has a tachash covering. That's it. So the menorah gets treles and tachash. Okay. Now we're going to have the Mizbeach. It's going to be the golden Mizbeach. Gold Mizbeach. Okay. So, Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11. Ve'al Mizbeach HaZahav, on the gold Mizbeach, Yifrisu Beged Techeles. Okay, you'll cover with a Techeles covering. V'chisu Oso B'michsei Or Tachash. And then you'll cover with a Tachash hide covering. V'samu Es Badav. And then place its poles. Seems pretty simple. But then, V'lakhu Es Kol Klei HaShareis Asher Yishar Suvam BaKodesh. They shall take all of the sanctified utensils, all the utensils that were used to serve them, v'nasnu al beged techeles, and they'll place them in a techeles garment, a techeles covering, v'chisu osam b'michseor tachash, and cover them in a tachash hide covering, v'nasnu al amot, and place them on the poles. So the utensils of the mizbeach were carried in a separate covering, treles and tachash, just like the mizbeach. Those utensils were then also in a separate covering. Now, it doesn't tell us which utensils. It doesn't necessarily mean the utensils only of the mizbeach. It seems like all the utensils were placed in the same two coverings as the gold mizbeach. So the gold mizbeach gets techeles, as we had until now, and tachash, and the utensils, is that correct? Yeah. Is that spelled right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Also gets techeles
and Tachash. Okay, but now we're going to have the big Mizbech, the large Mizbech. Okay, so Pasuk Yud Gimel 13. V'dishnu es ha-mizbeach. First, they removed the ashes from the mizbeach. They de-ashed the mizbeach. Ufarsu alav beged argaman. And they spread upon it a garment of argaman. Argaman is purple. That's new. V'nasnu alav es kol kelav. And then they'll place upon it all of its utensils. Asher yishos to alav bahem, that were used to serve in them. Es ha-machtos, es ha-mizlagos, ves ha-yoim, ves ha-mizrakos, the various pans, the various forks, all the things that were used, the shovels that were used for the mizbeach. Kol klei ha-mizbeach. Ufarsu alav kesoyar tachash, and they'll place over it a covering of tachash. Vesamu badav, and place its Badim, its poles. So here we have a change. The Mizbeach gets an Argamon covering. Argamon. And then a Tachash covering. Okay. Let's continue reading. We'll look at those at that chart over there. Pasuk Tesvav, verse 15. V'chila Aaron uvanav v'chasos es ha-kodesh. So now the kahas levim have not yet entered the room. They have not yet entered the area. It's all done by the kohanim, Aaron and his sons. So now Aaron and his sons finished to cover the kodesh, the sanctified things. That's called klei ha-kodesh, and all of the utensils of the Kodesh, bin soa hamachane, when the camp traveled. Ve'acharechen, and afterwards, yavo'u v'nei kahas laseis, the children of kahas will come to carry. V'lo yigu'u el ha-kodesh, they will not touch the sanctified things, v'amesu, and die. They had to not touch the things that needed to be covered before they touched them. Eila masa v'nei kahas ba'omoid. This is the carrying of the children of kahas in the Ohel Moed. So the Levim were before the b'nei kahas came in, they were the kohanim covered everything to prevent the b'nei kahas from a tragedy of touching the utensils uncovered and, God forbid, die. Pasuk Tezai, verse 16, Ufkudas Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, and the job, the appointment of Elazar, the son of Aaron the Kohen. So Elazar is the, after the deaths of Nadav and Avihu, so Aaron has two sons remaining, Elazar and Isamar. Elazar is the older brother, and Elazar will be the Kohen Gadol after Aaron passes away. So Elazar, what is his appointment? His job is to carry Shemen Hama'or, the oil for lighting, the menorah, Uktores HaSamim, and the incense for that's going to be burned, Uminchas HaTamid, and the mincha, the flour offering that was brought every day, V'Shemen HaMishcha, and the anointing oil. He carried four things. He carried the oil for lighting, he carried the ketores, he carried the daily mincha offering, and he carried the oil of anointing. Pekudas kol ha-mishkan v'chol asher bo. He was appointed over all of the mishkan and all that was in it, v'kodesh u'v'chilav, and the sanctified things and its utensils. So Elazar was in charge of the whole operation, and he himself had to carry four items that apparently needed to not be entrusted with anybody else.
Are we talking physically carried?
Yeah.
It wasn't put in a cart and he was restored?
No, he physically carried these four things.
Okay.
He physically carried these 46. The Gemara in Shabbos discusses how he carried them.
I'm sure.
He carried all four.
Very carefully.
He carried all four things. So he was in charge of the operation. We'll see in Parashas Naso, the next Parasha, that his brother Isamar also had a job. But Elazar is in charge of the whole operation, and he himself carries these four things. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Aaron Lemar, Hashem spoke to Moshe Aaron saying, Al tachrisu es shevet mishpachos hakehasi, do not cut off, which means don't let them die, the tribe of the family of the Kahasi, of the Kahas people, mitoch halavim, from within the Levim. Vizos asu lahem, this you should do for them, v'chayu v'lo yamusu, they will live and not die. Begishtam es kodesh ha-kodashim, when they approach this most sanctified job, Aaron uvanav yavou, Aaron and his sons will come, v'samu osam, and place them, ish al avodaso ve'el masao, each man on his job, and to what he's supposed to carry. They didn't come in and decide what each person would carry and who would carry. Aaron and his sons would actually take each person of Kahas and say, okay, this is your job, and this is what you're going to do today, and this is what you're going to do today. They would
delegate
right to the B'nai Kahas what they were to do. V'lo yavou liros kivalas ha-kodesh, they, the children of Kahas, should not come when the Kodesh was being, the translation here is inserted. Bala means swallowed up. So as they were covering everything, swallowing everything up, the B'nai Kahas should not come and see that, v'mesu, lest they die. So the B'nai Kahas had a job to do, but the job was perilous. If they did it wrong, they could be killed for it. If they touched what they shouldn't have touched, if they watched what they should not have watched, if they did a job that they weren't supposed to do, any of these things, they might die. Therefore, Hashem has a specific commandment that the Kohanim and Moshe need to ensure that the tribe of Kahas not be cut off, that they survive this very dangerous job. So it's a very lofty job. They're carrying the most sanctified objects, but because of that, because it's the most lofty job, therefore it is also the most dangerous job. And it is the job of the responsibility of Moshe and Aaron's sons to make sure that the B'nai Kahas do it right. So they have to make sure they don't watch when everything's being covered. They have to make sure that they don't touch anything until they're covered, and they have to make sure that they do the jobs that they're supposed to do and not have people do what they're not supposed to do. The pasuk tells us in Yud Ches in 18, Al tachrisu, do not cut off, es shevet mishpachos hakehasi, the tribe of the family of Kahas. Tribe?
They were not a tribe.
They were not a tribe. They were a branch of a tribe. Right. Levi was the tribe. What is this that Kahas is being called a shevet? This is the first time we see this. So you see, as we mentioned before, that Kahas has been singled out, almost like the Kohanim were taken and separated from the rest of the Levi tribe. You have the whole Levi tribe. Kohanim, Aaron, is from Levi. And Aaron and his sons were pulled away from the rest of the Levim, elevated above the rest of the Levim, and they are the Kohanim. Within the Levim, Kahas has been elevated above the other two, and he has a status of a shevet, of a tribe. Now, we're not going to see that used too often. Most of the time, Levi as a whole is called a tribe. But you see that in a certain sense anyway, Kahas is considered a shevet as well, as they have been separated from the rest of the Levim. So even though in the next parsha, Gershon and Merari will also be counted from 30 to 50, but Kahas is his own section, his own group. This job of carrying the Mishkan was in fact a dangerous job. If it was done incorrectly, someone could die. Later in the Chumash, we have a reference that the tribe of Levi was the smallest of all the tribes. Rashi tells us that, from the name of Chazal, that part of the reason for this was because they had such a dangerous job. And it seems that there were casualties when it was not done properly. Rashi doesn't say exactly what happened, when it happened, but it does seem that it was not a simple job to do, and even though, again, it was a coveted job because it was such a special job, but it took a lot of responsibility, and if it was not done right, then, God forbid, there could be a casualty. So, what is with all of these coverings?
Amen.
This is also done to protect
them
after what happened to Dasan Aviram.
Well, Dasan Aviram are still alive at this point. Are you talking about Nadav and Avihu?
I mean, Nadav and Avihu, yes.
Yes, Nadav and Avihu, but they didn't. Okay. They brought a Ketores.
Maybe they're protecting Kahas because they didn't want to lose.
Could be. But they actually brought a carbon they weren't supposed to bring. So they brought an Esh Zara. They brought a foreign fire. So it wasn't for touching anything. Now, all of the things that were covered had a tachash covering. A tachash hide covering. In fact, all of them, with the exception of the Aron, the tachash was the outer covering.
Yeah.
Which means that when you saw the Levim, the Bnei Kahas, carrying these items, you saw a thing wrapped in tachash. With the exception of the Aron. The Aron, even though there was tachash, but the outer covering was Techeles, and that's what you saw. So that means if you picture the procession of the Bnei Kahas carrying all of the utensils through the Midbar, so you would imagine that the Aron was carried in front. You would expect that being the most sanctified, it was carried in front. So what you would see is something wrapped in Techeles. And then you'd see various other things wrapped in tachash. You wouldn't see the other coverings that were under the tachash. Most everything has tcheles as part of the covering, except for the large mizbech did not, and the shulchan had an additional covering of tolas, shani of scarlet. I want to mention here, although this is not directly related to all the coverings, I just forgot to say it before, that the large Mizbeach had a fire on it. And just as there's a prohibition against removing the Badim, the poles from the Aron, there's also a prohibition against extinguishing the fire on the Mizbeach. Lo sichbeh, do not extinguish it. So they took a psachter, they took a metal bowl and inverted it and covered the fire when they traveled. There was a nace that the fire did not burn out. Even though there was no oxygen, it was covered, it did not burn out, and nothing burned. It didn't burn through anything. It was just there. And the Gemara tells us it was like a lion crouched in its cage. That the fire was like a lion crouched in its cage. But that fire would not go out.
So is this the order in which it went?
It doesn't tell us that, it is the order in which the Torah says it.
But I'm thinking that the Aron, which is the most precious as protection, should be either in the middle or in the
That's
back.
If you need to protect it. But if it's protecting you, right?
Well, you don't know who's around, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so
And the menorah did not have to be, it could have been either on or...
Yeah, it doesn't tell us specifically. It may have been on. It may have been the day that the light was still burning, but it didn't have to be. Yeah.
What is this surface of the large
Mizbeach?
Mizbeach that has fire burning.
Yeah, so it was wood, but it was plated in copper. The Gemara in Maseches Sukkah tells us that even though it was a very thin layer of copper, it did not wear away with all the fire.
That's the surface, not the walls, but the top surface.
Yeah, the top surface. Yeah. Yeah. As it says.
And by the menorah, there wasn't any circles for the poles to go in.
There were no poles. There are no poles for the menorah, just as it was placed on the poles. Apparently, the B'nai Kohath would have poles, and the menorah was placed on those poles.
On the base of it was on a...
Something like that. I don't know if it was upriters. I don't know how they did it.
Wow.
That's
heavy,
what it seems.
Heavy.
Yeah, God. Yeah. We will find for Gershon and for Merari that they used wagons to carry their items. But Kahas carried everything by the shoulder. Bakasef Yiso. They carry it on their shoulders. We'll see this in Parshas Nasa. So they carry everything was carried by hand, by shoulder. In of the various wools, dyed wool, Tcheles, the blue wool, Argaman, the purple wool, and Tolas Shani, the scarlet wool. So Rav Hirsch, of Shamshon Fall Hirsch, has an approach to these various wools and their dyes. Now, the discussion that I saw was not over here in this parasha, although I'm sure he talks about it here as well, but I'm referring to a different discussion that he has. And he makes the following point. That we know that Tcheles represents Hashem, represents the Shechina. We know, the Gemara tells us, that when a person sees Tcheles, it is meant to ultimately remind them of the Kisei HaKavod, of God's throne. That's what it's meant to remind us of. That the color is meant to make us think of that. That's the tcheles of the tzitzis, and whenever tcheles is used, that's what it's meant to make us think about. So he writes that tcheles represents, ruchnius represents spirituality. If that is so, it makes a lot of sense that the coverings would all be made of tcheles, since all of these items are spiritual items. They're used for spirituality. The argaman, the purple wool, and the talas shani, the red wool, he writes, both are forms of a red dye. But the talas shani, the scarlet wool, was a lighter and brighter red, whereas the argaman, the purple wool, was a deeper red. Both, he says, represent life, physical life, because they are the color of blood. And blood is the life of humans and animals of this world. And he writes that the lighter tolas shani, the scarlet, represents the life of animals, the animal kingdom, because it's a lighter red which connotes a lower and lesser form of life. And the argaman, the purple, the deeper red, represents human life. A deeper, stronger, more elevated life than animals.
And blue is a part of purple.
Well, okay, but blue is the ruchnius, is the
spiritual. So I was just saying we have a spiritual part.
Yes. So using his presentation, we can say the following. The fact that they all have tcheles makes sense, because we're talking about something that represents spirituality. The large mizbeach does not have tcheles. We'll get to that separately. It also makes sense that of all of them, it is only the aron where the tcheles was visible. because of everything, the most sanctified item is, of course, the Aron. Therefore, not only did it have Tchilis, but Tchilis was on the outside. It is what you saw when you looked at it. Everything else, it was covered. The Tchilis was covered. But it had Tchilis. The menorah, the gold mizbeach, the utensils, had Tchilis, and the tachash skin, the tachash hide. But the shulchan has Tchilis, as you expect, but it also has tolas shani. It also has scarlet. We mentioned that scarlet represents the animal kingdom. What would the animal kingdom have to do with the shulchan? The shulchan had bread, nothing to do with the animal kingdom. In fact, the large mizbeach, which is where you slaughtered all the animals, has argaman, has purple, which represents human life. And it seems to me that the message is as follows. You see, the shulchan has the bread. The bread is what one eats. The shulchan represents the bounty of this world. That we know. The Gemara tells us, Harotze lehachkim, someone who wants to become wise in Torah, Yadrim, when they pray, they should face a little bit south, because the menorah, which represents Torah, was in the south. Harotze lahashir, someone who wants to become wealthy, who wants the bounty of this world, Yatspin, should turn a little bit to the north, because the shulchan was in the north, and the shulchan represents the bounty of this world. So the bounty of this world, you can go either way with the bounty of this world. The bounty of this world either can be used in the service of Hashem, and that will have the Tcheles, but it can also, a person can express their pure animalistic side in their desires. And that is represented by the Tolas Shani, by the scarlet. The Shulchan has both elements. It's food. Food is a base desire of humanity. And food, therefore, is either going to be very sanctified, or it will drag a person down to their most base animalistic side. And so the Shulchan has both Tcheles and Tolas Shani in wrapping the Shulchan. But the Mizbeach has Argaman, has purple, which represents humanity. It doesn't have Tcheles, it does not have Tolas Shani, because the Mizbeach, the purpose of the Mizbeach is to achieve atonement for our Averos. That is the purpose of the Mizbeach. In the Haggadah, when we read after Dayenu, and then we say, Alachas kama v'kama, how much more so we have to thank Hashem that He gave us all those things that we said it would have been enough. With Diane, it would have been enough to thank Him just for any one of these things. But instead, He gave us all these things. He took us out of Mitzrayim, and He punished them, and he split the sea, and we gave all those things. He gave us Shabbos, all the various things. The very last point that we make in that whole list is He built for us the base Hamikdash, Lechaper al Avonoseinu, to atone for our sins. The Mizbeach is where one achieves atonement for their sins. The Mizbeach is there for human beings, but it's for human beings who have unfortunately slipped, have fallen, have stumbled. But the Mizbeach gives hope. The one has stumbled, but there's a path out, a path back. And a human being, in expressing their humanity and have fallen, can do tshuva, and this is the way to do tshuva. Ultimately, the most, you'll excuse the phrase, utilitarian item in the Mishkan was the Mizbeach. Everything else was used by the Kohanim, if at all. The Kohanim lit the menorah. The Kohanim burned the incense on the Mizbeach. The Kohanim were involved in the Lechem Aponim, the showbread. The Mizbeach, that's where you and I went. We went to the Mizbeach. We couldn't go on the Mizbeach, but we offered our karbanos. They were offered to the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was the thing that was what the people needed and used on a regular basis. That is the that's the argaman that represents humanity. That is where, that was the interface, was the mizbeach between the people, the rank and file, and Hashem and the Beis HaMikdash. This is where it happened. This was the, we talked about the Beis HaMikdash. The happening place of the Beis HaMikdash was the mizbeach. That's where all the action was. Everything else had its uses, but not regular use. The mizbeach had a regular, constant use. That's where the action was, and therefore it has the argaman, the purple, the that represents humanity in surrounding it. Perhaps that's an approach to the various covers that were used for the various utensils of the Mishkan. That brings us to the end of Parshas Bamidbar. And Amir and Hashem, next time we will begin Parshas Naso, which will lead off with the counting of Gershon and Merari as well, that they will be counted from 30 to 50.
What does Mikdash mean?
Sanctified. Kodesh. From the word Kodesh.
A question from last time. When your chevet was counted from the womb when they got out of Egypt, and then it gets to be 30 days, was that because it took 30 days to count up to the 17th?
No, 30 days is just because that's the amount of time for a baby to be considered to be viable.
Oh,
right.
Okay, so that's...
Yeah.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.